Boker Tov Rabotai, Erev Shabbat Shalom. So today is Asri Be'av, also. A little bit of a Bar Minan. What did I tell you? He's going to track us down. He found us.
Yes.
See them?
We can't close the thing here.
Even if he's going to come in. Anyway, Mikol Makom, today is Asri Be'av, also a very tragic day in the Jewish calendar. The Gemara says Masechet Ta'anit. We know that a bulk, like I was just saying, a bulk of the Beit HaMidrash burnt on Asri Be'av. The way the Gemara brings it down, the Yerushalmi differs a little bit, but according to the Bavli, they came in to the Beit HaMidrash on the 7th of Av. They ransacked, they destroyed and stole all the kelim for 2 days. On Tisha B'Av, right before Shkiah, they set it on fire. The Midrash says a very interesting thing, that they threw a torch on Tisha B'Av into the Beit HaMikdash, and before it actually hit anything, the torch that the Romans threw in, a fire came down from Shamayim and engulfed the Beit HaMikdash, which showed that it wasn't really them burning it, it was actually a gzirah mit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's another midrash in Charabati. So Asri Be'av is also quite a tragic day. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, then we should be fasting on Asri Be'av as opposed to Tisha B'Av. What's the Gemara's answer? Anybody remember? Atchalta deful anuta adifa. Who answered that?
Rabbi
Gamliel. Anyway, femel. Is it Dabzi?
Habzayin.
Femel. How many times ta'anit asita? Kama more than twice? Beautiful. Shef ta'aseot. Chazara only starts from the fifth time. First four times, or limud. Chazara starts from the fifth time. The stipler writes that in one of his garot. Very interesting thing. That's why if you ever notice, but Tosfot's a little bit different, but at least in Rashi, there's always, every daf in Rashi in Shas, there's always, it starts with four wide lines, and then gets narrow on the fifth. Limud, 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 chazara.
There are a few exceptions, Raf.
Yeah, there might be. Yeah. But there that's the general. Anyway, Mikol Makom. So because the beginning of the Quranut was on Tisha B'Av, that's why we fast then. But Asri B'Av is still a pretty harsh day, and that's why there's different minagim, minagi avilut, basar, bayayin, things of that nature. On most years, Ashkenazim were machmir about rechitza and things like that until chatzot. Today it's not the case because of Nechot Shabbat. So that's with regards to that. Now, I do want to point out that today, Shabbat Nachamu, very, very special Shabbat. It starts the order of the seven. It's called the Shiva Denechamta, the seven special. It's like the seven Haftarot, special Haftarot between now and Rosh Hashanah. We have 7 weeks. It's actually, we're 20 days away from Elul. And 60 days away from Rosh Hashanah.
Oh my gosh.
Baba, זה לא צחוק זה, אני אומר לך. איך יש סוכיניס? סוכיניס? Anyway, בקיצר. So,
where's the applesauce?
It's, no, it's still there. I'm taking home for Shabbos. Was it the Shabbos? Okay. Anyway, he made me the Persian applesauce.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway.
I always said to want to try it.
Like, anyway.
My grandmother. Real Persian.
You think you made it? No. Hala, the kitzur. So the Shabbat Nachamu is not mitchalef be'af haftara ba'olam. In general, sometimes you have exceptions. Machar chodesh, Shabbat v'Rosh Chodesh, Kuaman Hashem Shamayim Kisi. During Shabbat Nechamta, no exceptions whatsoever. Only the Shiva Nechamta. It starts with Nechamu Ami. And it ends off with Kumi Ori Kiva Orech and Parashat Mitzavim. So that's what we're starting this week. Also, this coming week, Bezat Hashem, Tuesday night and Wednesday, is one of the greatest Yamim Tovim Shel HaShana. What does the Mishnah say? The last Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit. The Mishnah says, Lo hayu Yamim Tovim Leisrael ke Yom HaKippurim V'Chamisha'Asar Be'av. So the Gemara asks the question, Yom Kippur. We understand why it's such a Yom Tov, because it's Yom Mechila V'Slicha L'Am Yisrael. But Tu Be'av, well, what's so significant about Tu Be'av? The Gemara brings down a bunch of reasons for the Simcha on Tu Be'av. Tu Be'av is Yom Simcha Gdola. What's the reason for that? The Gemara says, "Lamed amud bet intanit as follows: Bishlama Yom Kippurim Mishum Deit Beslichom Chila. Yom Shenitanu BeLuchot HaAchronot. Yom Kippur is also the day that Luchot HaAchronot were given to Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchot Shniot on Yom Kippurim, which means when did he go up? Rosh Chodesh Elul. He went up. People make a mistake. I want to just be misadir. How many sets of 40 days did Moshe Rabbeinu spend with HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Three.
What were they?
The first 40 days were after the Netan Torah. And then after that, that's when the Chata Eged happened. Chata Eged. Then he went up
the first 40 days were from, the Torah was given really, Shavuot was on Vav B'Tammuz. Machloket if the Torah was given on Vav or Zayin B'Tammuz. B'Sivan, not Tammuz. Machloket Chachamim Rabbi Yosei. Let's assume he went up the day after from Chet B'Sivan until Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which is 40 days. He came down with the Luchot HaRishonot on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Unfortunately, what greeted Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down? Chet Ha'Egel broke the Luchot. Then from then on, the 18th of Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu spent another 40 days doing what? Davening, right? Praying for Am Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive them. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti Kidvarecha, tomorrow, come back up for a third set of 40 days. This is the second limud that Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 40 days and 40 nights from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom HaKippurim, which is when he came down with the Luchot. What happened the day after Yom Kippur? Yud Aleph Be Tishri?
Oh, good.
The commandment to build the Mishkan.
The commandment to build the Mishkan, and they started the day after. Huh? Nachon, but according to Rashi, it happened based on the Midrash. It happened the day after Yom Kippur because the Mishkan was Hashem's sign. It was a symbol of Mechilat Avonot, and that was their vehicle towards Kapara. So that was the timeline that sometimes people don't get so clear. That was the timeline. So
according to Rashi, not according to Rambam.
Rambam. Yeah, Femeod. Great minds. Anyway, Bekitzur, so listen to this. The Gemara brings down, so now this week we have Tu Be'av. What's so special about Tu Be'av? Says the Gemara, Ela Tu Be'av Mai. The Gemara brings down a few opinions of what was so significant about Tu Be'av, and I want to proliferate it a little bit. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shutaru Shvatim Lavo Ze Baze, which means it was the day that the Shvatim were allowed to marry into one another. Mai Darush Ze Adavar Ashetziva Adonai Livnot Zelofad. Which means, we know, 2 weeks ago in Parashat Mas'e, we read it in Parashat Pinchas, and then again in Parashat Mas'e, there was the issue of Benot Zelofchad. What happened?
The father died.
They wanted his Yerusha. They didn't want to be left out, whatever. But then at the end of, so that was that. That was in Parashat Pinchas. What was the concern of Bnei Menashe? Remember, end of Parashat Mas'e, what happened there? What was the concern? Now that you tell me that Benot Zelofchad are going to inherit, they're going to go marry random guys from different Shvatim, and then what's going to happen to the Nachala of Shevet Menashe? We know that the Nachala of the wife, if she dies, who inherits? Husband. So now Shevet Menashe, every Shevet has special Nachala that was given to them by Yoshua. So now they're going to lose that Nachala, and it's going to go to a different Shevet. That's not fair. Hashem says, you're right. Ken Bnei Yosef Doverim. Means they have a good ta'ana. What was the mitzvah? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a special mitzvah to Benot Zelofchad. He says, "Latov be'enehen tiel anashim ach mi'mishpachat aviyem tiel anashim," which means he says they can marry whoever they want, but one catch. What? They have to marry men in their shevet. And they did an even bigger mitzvah because they were tzadkaniot. Who did they marry? But tiena livne dodehen anashim. They married their first cousins to stay not only in shevet Menashe, but in the chilek of Machir. Anyway,
good version.
Oh, they did first cousins?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so.
Most
no, no, it's mutar. The mutar. I mean, the poskim discuss whether or not it's acceptable. There is some research about genetic things between first cousins. It's not, I know even nowadays, couples that are first cousins, it's not. Oh, Behmet? First cousins? Or Persian cousins? Oh, Behmet? Okay.
Grandparents.
You okay? Okay. So. Anyway, so there's not enough research that shows that Chas V'Shalom there's anything wrong, and it happens. My Rebbe also, his parents are first cousins. Now, the Kitzer. Is a cousin in Britain? Is it workman?
It depends from which side.
Oh, come on, don't start with that.
No, exactly. You have 15 aunts and uncles, cousins, get it out.
I know. I'm telling you, they told me when there was Masechet Yevamot in the Daf, Persians told me there was super gishmak because they have a word for each relation. So every by us, it's uncle aunt, Martin. Uncle, cousin, brother-in-law, shalom. And then break your head to see which one was it. By the Persians, are called Mesudar, Mesudar. They have an Amu and Amen. Anyway, so by the way, Sfaradim love Yevamot. You ever notice that? You know why? It's one long hashkava party. There's always always hashkava. Someone's always dying. Many dafim of Yevamot, you have multiple people dying. Reuven mit, Shimon mit. Yalla, hashkava, kaddish. They love Yevamot. Anyway.
Also Yevum.
Huh? I know, but that's not as common, but
it's so good.
Sfaradim, we actually celebrate that, you know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Baruch says it's hostage situation, no?
Hostages. Oh. I had an Ashkenazi friend who told me, I'd rather go to a Sfaradi funeral than an Ashkenazi wedding any day of the week. Sfaradim had a party, you know? You ever go to Ashkenazi shit, it's not solid, it's sad, whatever. It's
they're
crying. Yeah. Say that, I cried. Chazar b'tshuva zetov. But you ever come to a Sfaradi Beit Even? Everything's rocking, there's music, not music, but like, you know, there's food and matzah, you know what I'm saying? It's Sfaradim. You know,
all your third cousins are staying all day long.
Yeah, everybody's schmoozing and making jokes, which is not the best, by the way. But everybody's, you know, maybe you're making a little bit of jokes to calm the venom down a little bit.
My dad's dad passed away, and she came to visit. Yeah. I just went outside. He's like, Yako, is everything okay there? I'm like, yeah, why? He's like, they're all so happy. Yeah, no one's crying. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, they don't. Ashkenazi will never get it. They don't chop. It's a culture thing. Anyway, mikol makom. So that's one thing. There's a kisur velo kisov nachala. It wasn't only for Benot Zerofchad. Benot Zerofchad were zoche, that they were the ones to bring about the halachat Am Yisrael. But just like Benot Zerofchad were only allowed to marry Ben Ishiftehin, so too, anybody who gets married, any woman who got married, the halacha was, any woman in Am Yisrael, always, she was limited to her shevet, so as not to cause a situation where Nachala would transfer across Shevet lines in Am Yisrael. Oh, one second. Time out. So now on Tu Be'av, the Chachamim understood, Ze hadavar, asher tziva Hashem et benot zelofchad, davar ze lo yinoeg ela bedor ze, which means ze halacha was only for that generation. The generation after, once they entered, the first generation after they entered Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim were mevatel, they learned from the Pesukim, Zeu, it's over. And Benot Yisrael had freedom to marry into any shivit that they wanted, and we're not concerned about the issue of hasavat nachala. Next thing says the Gemara. Another thing, Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Nachman, Yom Shutar Shivit Binyamin Lavo Bakal Shneimar Ish Yisrael Mishba Bemitzpeh Lemor Ish Mimenu Loiten Bitol Binyamin Leisha Amay Darush Amar Rav Mimenu Velo Mibanenu. There's a very, very tragic incident in Am Yisrael we just brought up, Pilegesh B'Givah. And it caused a terrible, terrible civil war in Am Yisrael. And all of Am Yisrael banded up against Shevet Binyamin, who were the villains of Pilegesh B'Givah, and they swore not to let their daughters or sons marry into Shevet Binyamin. When did this gzerah come off on Tu Be'av? They said only this generation, but their children they were allowed to, and the day that this gzerah was taken off was on Tu Be'av.
So
Nachon. Because this was part of the thing that Shevet Binyamin was allowed back into the union, let's call it, into the union of Am Yisrael, and that marked the end of that terrible tkufa in Am Yisrael. Terrible. Can you imagine? It's called in Lashon HaKodesh Milchemet Achim, like a civil war. Yes. Bar Minan, like what's going on in Eretz Yisrael now? It's nuts. Kulenu b'nei ish echad nachnu. What are you fighting amongst yourselves? He says, Vayter, I said a vart yesterday. I think it's very powerful. You can't judge any Jew. We're all the same. We just sin differently. That's a huge vart. Right? So this one does Avera Kazok, and that one does Avon Kazeh. We also do Averot, man. So what? We just sin differently. It's a huge vart. It's a huge vart.
It was two nights ago, Rav.
I said it 2 nights ago?
Yes, the night of Tisha B'Av.
Ma'or, Ashrecha. He says, but, Ma'or is currently being the sheriff of cyberspace to make sure nobody was in. Now, do you remember during COVID when people would bomb Zoom sessions?
Yeah.
Like take them hostage, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Ma'or, if somebody does that to our Zoom session, take them down. Now, he says, Viter.
They do hashkabot in Zoom.
Yeah, I hated that. Every time I see Zoom, it gives me post-trauma. It reminds me of COVID. I hate it. Zoom wasn't even on the map until COVID. Nobody knew it existed. And then all of a sudden, overnight, it became a big hit. And also Zoom, there's no such thing anymore as sick days or snow days in school. Every non-school day now becomes a Zoom day. Taking away the fun from kids. What's childhood without snow days? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's it. Global warming, no more snow. Right. They says, Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shekalu Bo Mete Midbar. This was the day that Mete Midbar stopped dying. The Amar Mor, Ad Shelo Kalu Mete Midbar, Lo Hayad Dibur Moshe, Sheneemar, Vahi Kasher Tamu Kol Anshei Milchama Lamur, Vayedaber Adonai Elai, Elai Hayad Dibur. Which means, Tosfot kind of breaks it down and says that every year there were 21, a little bit less than 21,000 people died per year throughout the 40 years in the Midbar after the Chita Miraglim. Don't forget, like the Midrash says, what would they do? Rashi brings it down, Tosa brings it down, that every Tisha B'Av in the Midbar, they would dig graves, and everybody that night would go to sleep where?
In the graves.
In their graves. Can you imagine? Like we sleep a little bit more uncomfortably on Tisha B'Av. They would go to sleep in graves. And then what? Whoever woke up in the morning jumped out. And whoever didn't, they just covered them. So every year, less than 21,000 died. What was less than 21,000? Throughout the Midbar, let's make the Cheshbon, just real quick.
What year was San Roger?
Second year out of Mitzrayim. So let's make the Cheshbon. If there were, Tosfot says, at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, there were 15,000 left, which means if you divide 15,000 divided by 40, there was 375. Which means that about 20,000 and 20,700 about people died every year until there were 15,000 left. The last year, 15,000 people were still supposed to die. And says Tosfot, they got a discount on the what happened on the they got a discount on the last year in the Midbar. So watch what happens. They woke up. Everybody woke up on the morning of Tisha B'Av. They said, something's off here. Some of us are supposed to be dead. What's going on? So they went the next night. They thought they made a mistake in the Cheshbon. They dug the graves again the next night. They went back to sleep. Next morning, everybody woke up again. You made the Cheshbon? You have to, the numbers don't make sense because they're only 600,000. I remember the Maharsha asks, on this, Maharsha on the Gemara questions Tosfot. I remember such a Maharsha. I didn't look at it today, but looked me in a cup that there's such a. Hold on. Okay, Baba Zin's. I found Maharsha. Maharsha asks, what kind of Cheshbon is that? How do you get from less than 21,000? Maharsha says like this. Oh, here we go. This is big stuff. Listen, such a plea of the Maharsha. He says like this. Yeah, ready? Mutai, stay with me. I need calculators. So, David, show me on duty. Let's go. Piresh Rashbam, uchol tisha b'av, ayu metim, kaf alif elef ufrutrot, which means a little bit more than 21,000. Divrei Rashbam, hem perek yesh nochalim. Aval lo yadati lechaven divrei Tosfot d'acha al pi Rashbam. He says, I don't understand Tosfot here based on the Rashbam. Why? D'hatam. ולפי לשון האיכה רבתי, שאמרו שם שהיו מוצאים עצמן Tetvav elef ufrutot chasru mitafresh elef. Oh, which means what happened? Every year, there's a midrash in Echad that says that 15,000 died. That makes more sense. So how much is 600,000 divided by 40 is?
15,000.
Oh, but the problem is that they didn't die, huh? And it's 38. So do 600,000 divided by 38.
The last 2 years?
Yeah.
15,789.
Okay. So now do 789 times 38.
29,000.
So he says, "V'ayan ira le'agia kan v'chin tzarich lomar." Therefore, based on this issue that the Maharsha has with Tosfot's Cheshbon, he says you have to tweak the Cheshbon a little bit. You got to change the Girsa. What does he say? "U'v'chol tish'a be'av ayu metim mitaf resh elef b'frutrot u'mforash." ויהיה פרוטרות קאי, עטף רש אלף, שהפרוטרות ממנו בכל שנה מהמם שנים, תת וב אלף, which means there were a little bit more than 600,000 people in the Midbar. So that made up, it was 15,000 plus change died every year to make up for the, it wasn't exactly 600,000, it was six, like we saw in Parashat Pinchas, 603, whatever, something like that. So he says, כדי מפרש לה, הטם פרש הרשבם, והוא מדבר אחר הבתי, שהפרוטרות עולה בכל שנה מהמם שנים, תת וב אלף. If you do this change over 15,000 that they died every year, it comes out to, at the end of 40 years, comes out to 15,000. ואין שם בזה דברי התוספות. So, and then he says, these last 15,000 that should have died on the last year, they didn't. Everybody woke up. That's pshat. 15,000 makes much more sense than 21. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the pshat? 15,000 extra went into
itself. So all of the extras, every year, 15,000 and change should have died. But only 15,000 did. Okay?
Every year.
So if you count up the change from all the 40 years, divide 15,000 divided by 38 years. Divided.
394.
So there should have been another 400 people. There should have been every year 15,400 people that died. They didn't. Only 15,000 people died, which means based on this cheshbon, that was the amount of people in Am Yisrael. Therefore, based on this cheshbon, at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, it should have been another 15,000 dying on the last year, and they got a discount on that. They didn't die on that year. Everybody got up. What happened, says the Midrash? Sorry. They woke up on the morning of Tisha B'Av, no one died. Dug again, Leil Asiri, morning of Asiri B'Av, no one died. And they kept on doing it, and they said, something's wrong here, until they finally saw Tu B'Av is a full moon, because it's the 15th of the month. They realized, we didn't make a mistake in the Cheshbon. Obviously what? Gzera is over. So they realized that the Gzera was over on Tu B'Av. Stay good?
So 15,000 and the extra 300 something. Of every year, those people went into Eretz Yisrael.
Correct. The last year, they had a 15,000. What? Go. Tfaddal. Now, ask her about the cheshbon. It doesn't make sense. Sounds like this. Vayter.
I thought the gezeirah was done by Tisha B'Av because.
Yeah, but they only knew that it was over. They got like this confirmation that the gezeirah was over on Tu B'Av, and that was a reason for celebration, because the whole time in the Midbar, the Bnei Yisrael were dying, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't spoken to directly by Hashem. When did Hashem talk to him again? Only after that Tisha B'Av, when they stopped dying. Now he says the Gemara continuing, Ula Amar, Yom Shebitel Hoshea Ben Ela Perus Diot Sheoshid Yarobam Ben Evat Al Adrachim Shelo Ya'alu Yisrael Naregim. Ve'amar Le'ez Shirsu Ya'alu. Hoshea ben Ayla was also a Rasha, just not as much of a Rasha as Yerovam ben Nevat. Everybody knew, huh? Nachum. Yerovam ben Nevat, Rasha Gadol. What did he do? He put soldiers at the entrances of all of the cities in Israel. He didn't allow people to be Ole Regia. Where did he make them be Ole to? To the Igle Azahar. They had to go worship it. So Hoshea ben Ayla took away the soldiers and he says, no, free country. You want to go to Yerushalayim? Go. You want to go to the Igle Azahar? Go. Which means, and such a big simcha, but at least they opened up the borders for people to go to Yerushalayim for Aliyah LaRegel. Another thing, Rav Matana Amar, Yom Shenitanu Eruge Bitei Likvura, it's also a day that he'll give bitir, we're allowed to be married. We're allowed to be buried. Bitir. It's called bitir.
Really? So it's called bitir.
No, not necha, in the keynote. It doesn't show up in, but if you look at the poems, all of the keynotes are rhymes. And all, if you look at the word bitir over there, it rhymes with another word that has a tzere. So mistakenly, people tend to call it bitar. That's a mistake. It's really bitir. So they were allowed to be buried. How long did the murdered people of Bitir? 7. They stayed there 7 years, the Gemara says in Masechet Bitin. And on Tu Be'av of the 7th year, the Romans said, okay, Allah, go bury them. How do we know? Says the Gemara Be'amer of Matana, Oto Ayom, Shinitenu Arugei Bitir Nikura, Tikenu Bi'avnei Ato Ve'ameti, Ve'tov Shelo Yisrichu, Ve'ameti Shinitenu Nikura, they made a special beracha in Birkat Amazon for the chesed of Harugei Bitir. Rabab Rav Yosef Damar Terabayu, Yom Shepasku Milichlot Aitzim Na'aracha, which means the day that they stopped chopping wood for the Ma'aracha. Why? After Tu Be'av, it gets chillier and the intensity of the sun gets weaker. And therefore what? Therefore, the wood doesn't dry as well. And therefore, all of the wood for the Mizbeach needs to be very dry. Why? Because even one worm is posen the whole thing. Therefore, they chopped and saved wood from the summer months until Tu Be'av for the entire year. Why is that such a simcha? Now that what? Now we stop chopping wood. Let's make a kiddush because we stop chopping. What does that mean?
They got enough wood for the whole year.
So, thus,
they had a productive year.
More time to learn. More time to learn. Now we don't have to spend the chopping is a mitzvah, but at the end of the day, now we don't have to chop. We have wood for the year. Now we have more time to learn. That's the simcha. That's why from Tu Be'av the Gemara says, yeah, oh. רבי אליעזר הגדול אומר, מ-15 באב ואילך תשש כוחה של חמה, ולא קולטים יצאים אל המערכה, לפי שאינני בשם על מנשייה, וקראו ליום תבר מגל, מכאן ואילך דמוסיף יוסף, ודלה מוסיף, מי יאסף. אמר רבי יוסף, תקברי אימי ברמנם. From, we know that the summer, what's very notable about the summer, is that the days are very long, and the nights are very short. Yes? From Tu Be'av, that changes. When it starts equalizing again, until it gets to, right, throughout the fall. What happens as you get closer to Tishri, Elul Tishri, the days and nights kind of equalize. And then as you get later into the fall, into the winter, what happens? The opposite. The days get much shorter and the nights get longer. Why is that good for us? Because night is meant for learning. La'ivre sihara ela legirsa. Mana says over here from Tu Be'av on, since the nights start getting longer, a person who adds on to his Torah learning, his life is extended. And if he doesn't add on to his learning, ye'asif, which means he's going to be gathered by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to be killed. That's what it is.
December 1st, yeah? December 4:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
4:30.
Yeah.
All the lengths of the months, those go according to the solar calendar, but the months themselves go according to the lunar calendar.
That's so right. So the Jewish calendar is actually a combination. We're not like the Arabic calendar, which is only lunar, and we're also not like the secular calendar, the Gregorian calendar, which is only solar. Yahadut is comprised, the Rambam speaks about this in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, that the Jewish calendar is a combination of both the lunar calendar and the solar. How do we know? That every few years, what's the difference in days between the solar and the lunar calendar? 11 days, 365 solar days, 354 lunar days. So that's 11 days. In order to make that up, 7 times every 19 years, we have a Shana Me'oberet. In order to make it up, why is that? What's the Ra'aya that the Torah says that we have to follow the sun also? The Torah says about Pesach, Yom Atem Yoseim B'Chodesh Aviv, which means that Pesach always has to come out in the spring. In order to do that, you can't just follow the moon, because then Pesach will just keep on alternating. You have to stabilize Pesach by using the solar year as well. That's why by Arabs, they only use the moon, which is interesting. They have Ramadan. When's Ramadan?
All
over the place. Sometimes summer, sometimes winter, spring. Why? Because it keeps on alternating. Am Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a constant. The given is that Pesach has to be B'chodesh Aviv, has to be in the spring. And then you work out everything else to be Misadir, the months like that. So I'll end off with a var. This will be our shtickle parshas here today. Also, the Gemara comes out that on Tu Be'av, at a special minhag, Benot Yisrael used to go out in the fields. They used to borrow clothes and dance in the in the vineyards, and Bnei Yisrael used to stand on the side and see, and that's how Zivugim were made on this special day. Maran Zichron LeBracha in Maor Yisrael, he asks a very interesting thing. He says, this minhag seems very, very peculiar and seems pretty contrary to Tzniut. No, it seems a little weird. Everything about Am Yisrael and everything's always tzanua, separate, achitzot, and all of a sudden, well, we have girls dancing in the field with white robes and then boys coming and shoot. Whoa, which did we just throw out all tzniut out of the window? And this was being done, don't forget, with the permission and with the encouragement of whom? Of the Chachamim. The Chachamim said to go do this. What? What just happened? Huh? Yeah, you know, no, what's, how do you fathom such a thing? So he explains, very interesting, he quotes in Orchot Chaim, Rabbeinu Aharon HaKohen Milumin, who asks this question at the end of Masechet Ta'anit, and he says that obviously we're not talking about, it's not all girls were subjected to this. Like the Gemara explains, which girls did this? Girls that had a hard time finding their zivug, which is interesting because the Gemara speaks about what happens if everybody had to borrow clothes from one another, correct? That, what was the reason for that takana? Not to shame a girl who didn't have. So says the Gemara, Bat Melech would borrow from Bat Kohen Gadol. Bat Kohen Gadol would borrow from Bat HaSegan, right? They would keep on, everyone would take from a level lower than them, which is interesting. According to the Orchot Chaim, Bat Melech, the princess, I guess she was having Shidduch HaMishwas also. And you see the Bat Kohen Gadol, she was having Shidduch HaMishwas also. Can you imagine? The Shidduch crisis in the times of Chazal was so bad that even Bat HaMelech and Bat Kohen Gadol had a hard time finding Zivugim. It's not true. It's the truth.
Wasn't every girl.
The Orchot Chaim says, Mefurash, it was girls who were Melkabesh Shidduchim, girls who, and what was the reason for the Takana? Because otherwise the Chachamim said, Et la'asot la'ashim, if not for this, Matasheva Shtalbin Rosha, would she sit until her hair turns white? Zelo, lo nechmad. So the Chachamim said, we got to do, now again, it was obviously still tzanua, didn't say chas v'shalom, bar minan, that the boys came to dance with the girl. That's Isur Torah mamash. If you look at the Be'ur Alacha, in Siman Shin Lamed Tet, he speaks about the extent of the Isur of mixed dancing. Mamash, huh? No, Or HaChaim, Shin Lamed Tet, Sof Hilchot Shabbat, Be'ur Alacha speaks about, he has a long Be'ur Alacha, quoting as Shelot Teshuvot Zichron Yosef Steinhardt. He quotes him over there about the terrible, terrible Isur of mixed dancing. Ooh, Eze Dvarim speaks. Harif Me'od Me'od. Harif Me'od. Anyway, the Kitzur, but they weren't Chas V'Shalom doing that. The girls were over there, and this was, you know, desperate times, called for desperate measures. In those desperate measures, this was the best they could do, the most sanua of the desperate measure, to go and find Zivugim for these girls. So anyway, Mikol Makom, and don't forget, this was at a time when it was still permissible to marry multiple wives. In the times of Chazal, polygamy was still perfectly acceptable, you know that. Yeah. It only started becoming an issue at the times of Rabbeinu Gershom, which was much, much later. And can you imagine how bad, even with marrying multiple wives, there was still a Shidduchim crisis. Can you imagine what was going on to the extent that the Bat HaMelech and Bat Kohen Gadol, they had issues finding a Zivug? No, it's a big thing. Anyway, Mikol Makom, but that's the pshat that Maran Zichron LeBracha brings down, why was Mutar to have this done? Thank you all for listening. Wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom Borach, Shabbat Nachamu. Stay hydrated, stay cool, and be well. Hopefully we'll see you at the same next week.
Watch
to the Rabbi Sam.